Welcome to the Azure for Sports podcast, hosted by the Azure for Sports team at Microsoft.
Hello and welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining our latest episode of the Azure for Sports podcast. I'm Suzanne Chedrick, Infrastructure Specialist for the Azure for Sports team. As always, I'm joined by my Azure partner in crime, John Flynn. How's it going, John?
Going well. Thank you, Suzanne. Good to be here.
Excellent, excellent. We are super psyched for today's episode. We had the extreme pleasure of going to the MIT Sloan Sports Analytics Conference recently, and we thought it would be a great idea to share some of the things that we learned, the things that we're excited for the future, and what's coming up next for sports technology. And I'm really happy to invite our guest for today's podcast, Mr. Jake Switzer, who is an awesome cloud solution architect for the data and AI space. Jake, welcome.
Thanks, Suzanne. Thanks, John, for having me. Just for the audience out there, I'm Jake Switzer. I'm a cloud solution architect at Microsoft. Been here for almost 8.5, 9 years now, and my focus is around sports analytics, sports business, sports technology, all the like. So the Sloan Conference was right up my alley.
I just want to start off by saying, right, can we all just agree, the three of us were there with other colleagues of ours, with a couple of thousand people in a room or a collection of rooms. That was tiring, right? I think it's the first one we've been back for, at least for me, for 2 years. And I kept telling you, Suzanne, I think I've run out of words. I've spoken so much. And it was just exhausting. That muscle needs to be reactivated. That's for sure.
Yeah, to your point, John, it was a great conference, but I think with it being the first one since the pandemic, there are a lot of things that you realize that you get very, very rusty at, or, you know, very, very quickly. And you're like, oh, wow, it has been a hot minute since I've done this. And suddenly there's just not enough, you know, coffee within the conference hall to keep you awake.
So,
completely agree. But right. it was such a great conference, not only for the content, but, you know, being able to connect with all of you, to see everyone in person, to build those relationships. And as tired as I was, it was totally worth the effort.
100%.
To your point about seeing people, because of the pandemic the last couple of years, there's been plenty of people that we've met in the industry and even at Microsoft that, well, we worked with them for 2 years. And so this conference was interesting because we met people that we've been working with for years now for the first time. And it was funny seeing some people and thinking, oh, you're a lot taller than I thought.
I get that a lot. But it was great meeting everyone, to your point. But it felt like a homecoming, right? When you met someone, you've been literally on Teams calls for the last 2 years. And it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we're finally here. And it's hugs and dinners and all kinds of stuff, right? It was just the overwhelming positivity of everyone there, just to be in a room with other people, was something that I haven't experienced for a long time. And it was great. And look, this conference was great. They've always been great. We've been going to these for years. But just to have that coupled with, hey, we're here, we're coming back, we're coming out of a horrible period of everyone's lives and getting back to some sense of normalcy was just incredible to be at. So, and thank you guys for making it fun as well. It was great suiting up with you guys and taking the field with y'all.
Yeah, it was truly amazing. And just to take that back a little bit for folks who are listening and may not be aware of the conference, John, Jake, can you talk to me high level? What is the MIT Sloan Sports Analytics Conference, and why is it important for Microsoft and specifically Azure to be present and interacting with the folks attending?
Yeah, so I'll jump in. I've been to the Sloan Conference a few times now, 5 or 6 times, and really the way that I like to sum up the Sloan Conference is that it's more or less a gathering of thought leaders, of analysts, startup companies, sports technologists who are all in the space. So you get panel discussions that include owners of different teams, general managers, ESPNers, so everybody in the business, all the way down to heads of analytics at all of the different teams. So for us, it's a great way to see what the industry is up to, what's the hot topics that are being talked about. And every conference seems to have a theme. A few years ago, it was sensors and IoT. This year, and I'm sure we'll talk about it more, there was a heavy focus on Web3, so NFTs, the metaverse, crypto, and how that can be applied in sports. And on top of that, there are also there are different speakers that are brought in that are more or less just sports fans, but they apply their specialties in ways that you can also apply in sports. I know a few years ago, President Obama was speaking just on the sports landscape, kind of the things that he was up to. And that was mostly because the sponsors of the conference, Daryl Morey, the general manager of the Houston Rockets, and Jessica Gelman, who heads up the Kraft Analytics Group, big fans of President Obama, so they wanted to have him come speak. So usually whenever those two want someone to come speak, they reach out, they make a few phone calls, and the conference gets that much more fun.
Yeah, for real. I think it's a good point. I mean, look, Daryl Morey, one of the co-founders, started this because he wanted to have a conversation about technology, data, and analytics in the sports space that weren't being had at a pervasive level, right? So there were three people in a room, and this is going back a while ago now. I think the theme for this one was seize the data. That was the tagline for this one. And data is the cornerstone of everything that this conference enables. And Jake's right, Web3 was the hot topic, right? Everyone is all in on NFTs and everyone is all interested on metaverse, right? They want to see where the metaverse goes, but they realize that NFTs are where it's at. But it was interesting listening to the opening remarks from Daryl, especially. I mean, he spoke about the need for conversation, right? And the need for different points of view coming together. And I think this is what this conference does very well. It sets up panel discussions, but it also sets up panel discussions with opposing views that people can come in and have an opinion about an analytics trend or have an opinion about a technology trend. And then the debate on stage, and it was well attended, not only by professionals in the organization, but students as well. So the thought process there is that the students are the next version of us, right? The next version of the Daryl Morey's, the next version of the President Obama's, the next version of Jake Switzer and Suzanne Tedrick, right? And teaching them what we know now so they can make it better is a fundamental cornerstone of the MIT Sloan Sports Analytics Conference. And that is amazing. And I think they did it really, really well.
Absolutely. And it's amazing that, you know, 90% of the conference was organized by MIT students. So there was always a student organizer for each of the panel discussions. And, you know, I'm almost kind of envious, you know, that's kind of like a really great treat that you're able to kind of be alongside these professionals in the industry and learn from them and put on such this, you know, nationally, you know, or internationally recognized conference on emerging technologies that are related to the sports industry. It's got to be a wonderful feeling and wonderful to be able to talk about that and put that on your resume.
For real. And I think the conference also shows the ever-changing landscape within professional sports as well. I look at it from a sponsorship perspective. Now, Microsoft has been a longstanding partner. We involved our Microsoft for Startups organization headed by Jeffrey Ma. They were present and hosted a competition. We should probably see if we can get the winners of those competitions on here as well. We have a chat with them. I think that'll be a lot of fun. We were obviously there as a data and AI and infrastructure on Azure perspective as well. But it was interesting that we started sports bettors, a sports betting organization such as FanDuel being present and talking on the panels. Organizations such as the Drone Racing League, which is a relatively new sport, is born in the cloud, lives on the cloud, and is at the forefront of Web3 as well, being present, along with the more established brands such as us and AWS going there. I think it's interesting to see who's showing up in what capacity. What do you think? What do you guys think about that?
I think to your point about sports gambling, it's actually a really good point. A few years ago, you would have never thought it. You would have never thought of having somebody like Jason Robbins, the CEO of DraftKings, at a conference like this, because sports betting was almost seen as a pariah in the industry. It was that, you know, worst kept secret. Everybody was doing it, but you couldn't really talk about it too much, right? And whereas now it's, you know, there were booths there. Caesar Sportbook had a booth, FanDuel, DraftKings, they're all there. Jason Robbins was on a couple of different discussions. And so it's big right now. And the space is kind of the wild, wild west. There are a lot of startup companies that are looking to get their foot in the ground and see what they can do. And then there are established companies that really made a bet early, like DraftKings, like FanDuel. And then there are sports books that are out there that already have the infrastructure in place to take off really, really easily, like Caesars. And so it's a fascinating space where that corner of analytics and gambling kind of meet at the Sloan Conference, because the more finer tuned your analysis is of a certain sport, the more interesting your bets can become, or even the more accurate your bets can become. And so merging those two together gets really, really interesting. And as we've seen from this past weekend, it also gets very cloudy as far as what are the rules and where can you actually kind of do things with the Calvin Ridley stuff with the Atlanta Falcons. You start to see some of the rules starting to get broken and bent. So it's a space that's still very new and still very unsure as far as where the line is drawn. But it's definitely a space that all of the leagues are going all in on. I mean, we've all heard of these large deals by the NFL and the NBA and others with different gambling companies. And then as well as with some of these companies like Barstool Sports and MetaLark Media, that while not directly in the, you know, in the making of teams and the league space, they're tertiary to what to sports does, because that's their bread and butter, writing and doing podcasts about sports. So it's fascinating to see just kind of the growth of sports gambling over the last couple of years, or not necessarily growth, but it's just sort of pulling itself out of the shadows and into the real world.
It definitely is starting to become, there's more like legitimacy of it now, especially as you start seeing states like New York making it legal. Like, it's no longer taboo. And as you said, Jake, like, it was an open secret. We know that it was going on well before now, but now it's like it's legitimate. People want to invest. They're excited. And it's just another interesting dimension of the fan engagement kind of, you know, bubble. So it was really interesting to see those conversations having there as well, especially in an academic setting. Like, the fact that you're talking about gambling in such a place, it's like, we've definitely come a long way.
I agree. I mean, I think there's some, I mean, it's funny, if you haven't been to one of these for 10 years and you suddenly go to this one, it's an eye-opener, right? Because we're talking about gambling. There was a session on cannabis, right? It was like, what the heck is going on here? Like, things have changed a lot. But I think the cool thing is it's kind of like chasing your tail with sports betting and analytics, right? One feeds the other. It's infinite loop, right? And pushing the boundary is exactly what they're going to do. It is exactly why they do what they do from a data and analytics point, right? Because finding alpha, even the most minute alpha that they can, because if you think about the stock market versus professional sports that you can bet on legally in your state as per whatever federal regulations are in place, there's infinitely more potential volume in professional sports because there's so many more underlying instruments, right? You could be in the stock market, you could be involved in fixed income, you could be involved in equities, you could be involved in FX, and you can have a mixture of those for hedging, for example. But in sports, you can bet in a one-game period probably the volume of 75 day traders, right? Because you can have these micro bets on moments that are happening live in front of you, which is unlike any other betting industry, right? It's not like betting on poker. It's not like betting on stocks. It's not like betting on anything other than a professional sports organization, because you can create your own bets as well, right? Because the cool thing about it is I can have a wager with you on something that we just made up. So, I mean, it's crazy. When I first started seeing the micro betting, like, people are betting on national games if the national anthem is going to go long or short than X amount of minutes, right? It's like, what? And then that starts to build its book, and then it gets bigger. And then, is this person in English Premier League? I remember the first penalty kickout, they were betting on, are they going to go left or right? Are they going to kick with their left foot or right foot? Are they going to dummy? It's like, people are making up stuff to bet about, but it's what we've been doing all along, to your point, right? We may be doing it in the shadows, we may be doing it as friendly wages, maybe it's been betting a couple of beers in a bar. Now it's been legitimized, and now it's taxed, and it's put onto a platform, and analytics has just opened the door to so much more possibilities here, right? I mean, I think we could have a show just on that, and we saw that. And we saw that pervasive across every single conversation, even the sessions that weren't about sports betting included sports betting, because it was such a huge consumer of the analytics capabilities that we've now come up with.
What were some of the other sessions for you both that really resonated with you? And you know, what were some of those key takeaways that you were getting from attending?
I think one session that was very interesting was Phil Chang, the head of analytics at the Los Angeles Lakers. He talked about really the title of the session was Unsolicited Advice. And really he was talking about what does it take to be successful as an analytics person at a sports organization? And the two key takeaways were modern infrastructure. So, yeah, just as a bit of a background, a lot of the heads of analytics or analysts at teams are PhDs in mathematics, physics, or they have their master's in data science. They're very, very, very smart people. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're trained DBAs or data engineers. And so a lot of teams are using the easiest thing to get stood up with. Maybe it's an Access database or a single SQL Server database. And so that was a big point of his discussion was, hey, let's not fall on our laurels on some of the stuff that we already know or the stuff that we were taught in college. Let's use modern technologies, modern distributed frameworks to really take advantage of the large data sets that we're getting from all kinds of different data sources. And then the second thing that he talked about was communication. This was both as far as how do you talk to a coach? How do you keep your message very succinct and simple to understand? And then also visually. So you're creating this dashboard, beautiful visualizations. Well, if nobody knows what's coming across, then it's who's going to give a damn about it. Keep it nice and simple. Keep it to a point that understands it, or it's something that they can consume very, very easily or in their way. And then you're going to be seen as valuable. And then more and more coaches or GMs or front office members are going to wind up coming to you for advice instead of saying, well, this is just, you know, somebody that we're giving a paycheck to in the corner and they're running a bunch of numbers, but don't go talk to them.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's building trust through data, I believe, right? And it's great because I remember Phil was talking about they did two versions of something for the coaches. One was something so intricate and it had graphs and numbers and percentages and all these wonderful colors and it looked phenomenal. And then they did one with two circles on it. The coaches went, yeah, two circles, because it's instantly recognizable where I need to focus and what it is I need to focus on, right? So I think clarity of messages is something that is critically important for everyone working with analytics, right? Is building that trust through data means that you have to be able to visualize it in a way that I can immediately get it, right? And that's no more true in sports, because a split second decision means something either great or bad, right? There's kind of no like, oh, well, right? I mean, you either win a game or you lose a game. And I need a decision right now on how I'm going to affect that. So I love that session as well. I think one of the cool sessions for me, it was headed up by Rachel Jacobson, who's the president and CEO of the Drone Racing League, and it was around NFTs. So I think we started early with NFTs. Gary Vee and Michael Rubin opened the show, and I think they should take that act on the road. It was funny. They certainly got us started in the right direction, so kudos to them, right? And Gary Vee, look, he's a larger-than-life personality, and everyone loves what he says, right? And his whole message was around NFTs. If you're not, how can you not be part of a movement? NFTs are a movement. They're not just a moment in time. They're not just a technological fad. They're a movement, right? I mean, I think Rachel on this panel jumped into it a little bit more. She said that if you aren't educating yourself or you aren't educating your team on blockchain or NFT technologies, you're losing fans at this point, right? And the lifeblood of any sporting league, any sporting organization are the fans. And I thought that was interesting because one of the more underlying messages that we had when we had our conversations outside of the sessions. Suzanne, you and I had a ton of these at one point that seemed to come rapid fire, was what can we do to attract more fans or a new fan, right? Because the new fan is classified as a lean in fan versus a lean back kind of fan. And how do I get my game from a presentation perspective to a lean in state, right? And I think that those questions are going to be answered over a longer period of time. But I think it's a critical moment where the leagues and teams understand that they need to change to a lean in audience. And that's probably the most exciting takeaway for me from the entire conference, is that the presentation of the sport is changing faster than the sport itself. Think about it, right? I mean, we look at second screen technology, we look at overlays. The game is being played the same, right? Arguably, right? There's different ways and different training and different analytics we can put to make the game better. But the way that you still win by getting the ball in the net, getting the ball over, and how we present that to the fan is changing. And the new fan that's coming up with, I would arguably say, a lack of attention span, even challenging my lack of attention span, is being catered to, which I think is phenomenal. So that's what I mean by that statement, right? The presentation of that sport versus the sport itself is changing faster.
I will say selfishly, one of the things that I definitely enjoyed seeing and witnessing at the conference was the investment that was being made in women's sports. I attended a women's luncheon the second day of the conference. That was, the main speaker was Kathy Carter, who's the CEO of LA28. And she talked very passionately about getting knocked down in her professional career and just getting back up. And she mentioned a really great statistic in that when the MIT Sloan conference first started, only 8% of the speakers were women. And for this conference that we attended just now, 35% of the speakers and presenters, you know, were women. And, you know, there were panels dedicated to not only like women doing great things in sports technology and in different sports areas, but how do we foster the next generation of women coming into this industry? And so for me, it was just really great to see. And I was just delighted by that.
It was awesome for everything related to diversity and inclusion. They definitely made it a core component of the conference and really hammered it home. I think Daryl and Jessica do a great job of making sure that the sport industry is grown so that it's easily accessible by anybody and everybody. Because yeah, if you think of Moneyball from 20 years ago, it's a bunch of guys from Yale, Harvard, sitting in a room punching out different analytical packages, and now it's grown to be a thing that, you know, anybody and everybody can do, and we definitely saw that from the conference.
I think one of the cool things that this conference involves is the research papers aspect of it. So I remember I was walking down the hall, one of the halls, and there were these big sort of 12x8 posters on research papers that students had submitted for inclusion, and then they were voted on and there'd be a winner of the research papers. And just the quality of research, I mean, when I was in school, we weren't anywhere close to the capabilities, and maybe that speaks to me more than it speaks to anything else. But that just the research around the thoughtfulness of the research that got them to their thesis that they then presented the argument with is absolutely incredible. And I will tell you, some of those papers were more thought out and in depth than some of the conversations we're having with professionals today who do it for a living, which doesn't speak negatively on the professionals today, just speaks so positively on the talent coming up that's entering these organizations, that's going to be eligible to go and interview and potentially land a job and spend a couple of seasons at these organizations. How fun is this? I mean, it's only getting better and better, which is great.
The passion was definitely coming through with the research papers. You could see how much these people loved what they were doing.
Absolutely, man. So I got the chance to speak to one of the students who had put forward their thesis, and their passion when talking about it rivaled that of Gary V's on his desk there, right? I mean, they were almost levitating when they were talking about it. So that's how passionate they were in. And they were just, it was so refreshing to see. And you've got that unbridled enthusiasm of going in, putting forward a research paper, and them having the not only courage, but also vulnerability, make themselves vulnerable to go, tell me how this can be made better. Tell me how we can put this into application and how you guys can make it better, right? I think that is just, it's amazing. And I don't believe enough of these conferences tie in that education angle as well as Jessica and Daryl has done. It's just, it's so refreshing. And I commend both of them. And I think looking forward, when we go to many more of these, I'd love to see more of them.
I think that helps in the fact that it's MIT who's, you know, providing the space and providing this great talent. And I think it's really important for the lifeblood of the sports technology space that you have people who are passionate and they want to contribute and they want to learn and make their marks. And just seeing some of the conversations we had at the Azure booth, like, you can tell, like, this was just like so much fun and you know, so passionate, and, you know, they want to be a part of this space and be the next leaders in a variety of areas. So it was really fantastic to see. I was really heartened by that. So just thinking, you know, I know that we're still digesting the weekend that was. I know that we'll probably all need to, you know, take an extra vacation day or two to recover. But just thinking ahead, because we'll, you know, be at the next conference in 2023. If you were going to be talking to the event organizers and the student event organizers, what are kind of the things that you want to see in 2023?
Well, I think the big thing, it's going to continue to roll off of the Web3 sort of tidal wave that's coming right now. So the metaverse was talked about, and from a owner perspective, so there were a couple of owners that spoke about the metaverse and its importance in sports going forward. I think we're going to see a lot more as far as how the modern fan consumes content. It's more than just sitting at home and watching a game or being at an arena and watching the game. It's also putting on a headset and virtually sitting courtside to watch the Nets play basketball. It's putting on an augmented reality device and allowing you to play basketball against Anthony Davis or LeBron James. There are so many implications behind the metaverse that expands what a normal fan can do. And that's all we want to do, right? Like, you know, an example that I've used with a couple of baseball customers is, could you imagine if a fan could put on a headset and take a fastball from Garrett Cole? Because we all know, we all have that friend that is like, oh no, this pitcher, I can definitely hit a home run off of him. There's no chance they hit one ball. They don't hit ding one off in 100 pitches. But could you imagine if you could actually let them do that? We have the data from a lot of these different tracking systems, and we can create these augmented simulations that just enhances the fan experience so, so much.
I agree. Look, why don't we have it in the metaverse next year? Right? I mean,
right. We could have the entire thing there.
Let's do it. Or let's do it. Let's do a hybrid, right? Let's do a metaverse version for those that can't be present in Boston, and let's have those avatar-based entities interact with us carbon-based entities, right? Why not? Let's go all in on it, man.
I think I'd love to see a holographic Tupac, yeah, exactly. And a holographic John on stage.
Exactly right. I mean, how cool would that be? We're going to have ownership up on stage. So we'll have the MLB ownership next to Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth.
Exactly.
Having the conference, right? So I think that'll be amazing. But seriously speaking, though, I think I'd love to see the conference continue to lean in and lead by example of these new technologies. I'd like to see the conference itself base itself around Web3, right? Why not have all the ticketing be NFTs, right? Why not utilize the blockchain so that we can create contracts that spill from conference to conference to conference to conference, right? They continue to live and grow through it. Why don't we do things like that? I'd love to do that. But That's interesting, and that's selfish, right? I think from that's selfish to me because I love it. But I think one of the things I'd love to see is more content from real world GMs, owners, the heads of analytics, the heads of data in these organizations as to how their world is changing, right? And how they're keeping up. Because we're a tech company. We do cool stuff and we could do cool stuff all day long, and we do, but unless someone uses it, we're doing it for us, right? So I'd love to understand from them, how do we go from hype to reality to despair of what's actually possible to now building it back up and using in a sports organization, league, club, team, franchise, whatever you represent. How do you really use some of the stuff we spoke about last year? How do you really use the possibilities that we spoke about 2 years ago? Did they die? Did they actually use? Maybe a recap, maybe something like that would be interesting to me, right? Because where's our yardstick? What are we being measured against, right? We think about something cool, three people think agree with you, and then 12 people, and then 150. But does the application of it make sense? Did it hit? Did it not hit? I'd love to see something like that.
You bring up an interesting point, John, because I remember during the Gary Vee panel, they were talking about NFTs and the eventual, bubble. So it would be good to just kind of like for the next year, like fact check that, like, where are we exactly? Did this prediction come true? And to your point about talking about the reality, I think especially as a learning tool for the next generation of technologists that are coming into this space, really getting them to think just beyond just the research and what could work, because you need that, but you need to be able to prove out that this can work in reality and this would be applicable to an organization or a particular problem. So really being able to take the theoretical and apply it into reality and explain how you were able to do that. I think those are really important tools for students to know, and having more participation from the field. Like I thought it was amazing the number of people that were coming from sports leagues and some of the other organizations, and it's really important to keep that participation up so that people understand, what is the ecosystem, what are the things that I should be aware of, what should I be thinking about and aspiring towards, and maybe to some extent, what should I like be avoiding, on some level. What
Absolutely.
technology areas I'm like, I'm gonna stay away from that.
And I think it's cool. It's also somewhere that isn't very possible to have Major League Soccer employees speaking with Major League Baseball, speaking with NFL, speaking with NBA, all together about the things that they do, different discipline, but the similarities are stark, right? But I think in itself is great. And I build upon your point. I'd like to see more of that as well. But I mean, look, let's be serious here. There is really one thing, and we've heard from the fans. There's only one thing that people want to see next year, and that's an Azure for Sports podcast live from the floor. Let's call that
Didn't stop hearing about it. ESPN had the daily a live recording of that. How come John and Suzanne don't have a live recording of their podcast?
It was a miss. It was a miss by us.
Daryl,
I'll take it.
I'm sure they're going to be listening. They'll have it all set up next year. They'll have it
Absolutely. And we'll graciously accept. We will.
John,
I love
we're putting it out there in the universe. That's
it.
all we can do. Like, hint, hint.
Subtle as ever.
A ton of bricks, but that's okay. Well, John, Jake, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure, and it was great seeing you in person. I mean, I've only been working for Microsoft for a year, and I think this was the third time we've actually had the pleasure of being in person, but every time we're together, we have a ton of fun. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. It was fantastic, right? And you people are the reason we do this thing, right? I love coming to work every day virtually with you guys, but getting to see you guys in person is absolute icing on the cake there. And spending some time amongst these sports professionals and just greatest minds of the game, past, future, and present, is incredible. So thank you very much. Thank you both.
Oh yeah, no, thanks for having me on too. And like you said, Suzanne, it was great seeing everybody in person, getting to hang out, getting to network with people. I mean, I think, you know, we talked about the great things about the conference. The best thing about the conference is meeting everybody in person and actually sitting down, grabbing a coffee or grabbing a beer and just hanging out and just talking. And then just ideating what could be. How can Microsoft, as a large sports or a large tech company, help out a sports company to do the things that they want to do? It's really cool.
Yeah, man, well said.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And with that, I'll bring our episode to a close. But everyone, thank you so much for taking the time to listen. As always, we welcome your feedback as well as suggestions for future episodes. But until next time, take care and we'll talk to you soon.